We are the false prophet. I got to finish up the beast, and then we'll go to the false prophet. They work together, but here's where we are. I'll put the timeline up again. This is a very simple timeline, but it will really help you understand the book of Revelation. So the timeline is chapter 1, you know, the verse at the bottom, 119. The things which thou hast seen, John saw God in eternity past. The things which are, that's the seven churches he was speaking to that existed right then. And the things which shall be hereafter is chapter 4 and verse 1 through the end of the book. And so that's where the rapture takes place. He sees a door open in heaven. He's in the Spirit on the day of the Lord. You have the tribulation. The Lord comes back, takes the tribulation saints out. Then you have the millennium and on and in, into eternity. And the one thing that really helps understand the book of Revelation, I think, more than anything, is that in 6 through 19, there's four views of the tribulation. So you'll see some of these events happening again and again. That doesn't mean that they have, like, the Lord comes back four times, or there's four battles, or these things happen, but it's a four views of them, and they're given through the seals on the scroll. They're given through the trumpets that the angels sound. They're given through these personages here. And then they're given through the vials that the Lord pours out. All right? So we are now here. Last week we started where in chapter 13 where the Lord reveals what is going on with the Antichrist. Most of the views of the tribulation up to this point have really, in the most part, focused on what the Lord is doing through the tribulation. But this gives you a view of what the devil is doing and what he is trying to accomplish through the tribulation. So if you'll take your Bibles and go to Revelation 13, Revelation chapter 13. So the first, it says, I stood on the sand in the sea, and he saw a beast rise up, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. All right, we've identified this as the Antichrist. It's picturing his real personality, who he really is. God is revealing him. The dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. And the dragon, remember the great red dragon in the chapter before, was the devil. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power is given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. All right, and so we'll pray. Lord, we come before you, and we want to thank you, Father, for this time that we have together. I pray, Father, that you will help this to be edifying. Lord, help us to understand the things you've written and the things that must shortly come to pass. Help us to not put our hope in this world and in politicians, and but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to have an eternal look, because all this stuff stays here and gets burned up. But we go on to a better life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, he shows you this picture, this beast with all these heads and horns and crowns, like a lion, a leopard, and a bear. They're beasts of prey. You know, a lion works in a pride. He has all these different elements, but there's one lion that's in charge. And the Antichrist is going to have a totalitarian government. And so, you know, all of these totalitarian governments we read about in history, whether it's the fascists in Italy or the Nazis in Germany or the communists in Russia and China, they've been all modeled under this idea of complete dictatorship. So they, you know, when the people thought of Hitler under Germany, they thought of Hitler. He had absolute power over people's lives. He didn't have to consult anyone. It was a total dictatorship. And that is what the Antichrist will be, the beast will be. He will not only be the head of the revived Roman Empire or something that looks like that, but he will be the empire. He will speak for it, act for it, think for it, and decide for it. So when people talk about there's a one world government coming, maybe I'm sure you've heard that. That's what they're talking about. He is going to be in absolute control. He has a body like a leopard, covered with spots. That's a way of describing how ferocious and wild and harmful it is. Now, remember the Lord? John said he is the Lamb, and he says he's without spot and blemish. Could there be any greater contrast between the Antichrist and the Lord Jesus Christ? A leopard and a lamb? And so, he's being revealed for who he really is in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And his nature is vicious, and his true intentions appear. He comes out of the pit, and he's out for blood, and that's what he wants. He will be revealed when he goes into the temple and takes away the daily sacrifice. And then, until that time, there's many false Christs and antichrist. Okay, Revelation 13:5, it says, "There was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So you remember that he made a covenant with Israel, we learned from Daniel, and in the midst of the covenant, he breaks it off, and he causes the sacrifice to cease. That's when he's truly revealed, and he goes against them. And so he is given power to continue for the last half of the tribulation. And it says, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints," in verse 7, "and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." So, power was given to him to make war with the saints. God will permit the Antichrist to go to against his people. Now remember, even though the church is taken up, there's been 144,000 evangelists. They've been evangelizing. There's been people during the tribulation that have turned to God all through this time. And we remember from Revelation chapter 6 how they're even beheaded and their souls are under the altar and they're crying out, "Lord, how long is it going to be until you come back and judge and avenge our blood?" And so he's given power to do that and to go against them, against the Daniel 7:25 says this, "He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of time." You see that? It matches up perfectly. The 42 months, the last 3.5 years, he's going to be given power and permission to go against them. He can't harm the glorified saints that are in heaven, but he can harm the believers on earth. And you know, we think about, why do good people suffer? And that's a question that can't be very easily answered. And that's brought into focus here again in the tribulation. It was given unto Herod to imprison and behead John the Baptist. He was given the power to do that. It was given to Satan to persecute Job. And it was given to Pilate to pass the sentence of death upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a verse that shows that. John 19:10, Pilate saith unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. So the Lord grants him this power to go against them. And it's a mystery now, isn't it? I mean, I don't care how good of an explaining machine you have. That's a very difficult question to get a satisfactory answer to. But the best answer that we have is, you know, judge nothing before it's time. We haven't seen the end yet. You've only seen things in this life. And the Bible says that it will be different in the next life. And so it may look to those people and to the world at the time like he's winning, but he's actually losing. And he's heaping up judgment against himself, and treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. And I try to emphasize to my kids, to everybody, that like the old preacher said, let's wait a while because we haven't seen the end yet. We haven't seen the end yet. And we have to put our hope and our faith in the Lord and in eternity. They'll get a martyr's crown. And for that brief 42 months, he's permitted to use all his power against the saints of the Most High. This is when the great tribulation is really unleashed. He extends himself, and you know what he's trying to do? Rid the earth of every last believer in God. He goes to great extents to do it. He goes to war, and you know what I think he's going to do? I think he's going to comb history. Is he going to find all the methods of fear and domination that were ever used, and he's going to put them back to use again in the tribulation. I think he'll have the firing squads. I think he'll have the rack. Remember, the when you read about the martyrs, they would put them on a rack and stretch them. He's going to use all of those things. The guillotine. Revelation 20, verse 4. You know how I know he uses some of these methods? It said, I saw the thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads, were in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They were beheaded. How brutal is that? I'm telling you, he's going to do everything he can, like Hitler did with the Jews. He wanted to wipe them out of Europe, kill every one of them, and get rid of them. And that's what this man is going to do to try to get rid of the saints of the Most High God. But some of them, they'll endure. The real ones will endure. The Bible says in Matthew, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved, talking about this tribulation period. And the ones that are real, they're not going to love their lives even unto death. The Bible says in Revelation 20 and verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. And you know, I would never break fellowship over someone over this, but I personally do not believe that we're going to go through the Great Tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. I believe what it says in Revelation 3, verse 10. Do I have that verse up here? Revelation 3:10. I think I have it there somewhere. Don't worry about it. We'll get to it when we get to it. But it says that he'll keep you, talking to the Church of Philadelphia, from the hour of temptation, that is to try all the world, you know? But that being said, people have already been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus Christ. People in all kinds of countries, they lose their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, even today, they're being persecuted and put to death for their faith today in the world. And there is nothing, there is absolutely nothing that would prevent that from happening here to you and I And we would think it's the Great Tribulation, but it wouldn't be. But we can still go through those things. So it's a cruel, I don't understand just wanting to exterminate these people and get rid of them because he wants worship for himself and he doesn't want any opposing voices. Revelation 13 and verse 7, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And it's going to seem like he's winning, but he's not. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That is it. That is world domination. That is his goal. That is the one world government. It's biblical. It will happen. And it's just a matter of time. Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. This is the beast, the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So the people that are not with the Lord, they haven't received the Lord, they haven't trusted him. All the people that have not done that will worship the beast. And he said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And you know what people need to understand? That this time is going to be so deceptive that the Bible says if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. The only thing that will keep them from worshiping the beast and the Antichrist and the false prophet is they have their names written down and they have the Lord. You know, the Lord will keep you out of a lot of trouble. And it's very important to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is delusion, there's spiritual deception that is in this world. And he said, look, it doesn't matter what time you're in, if you're in the tribulation, if you're in the church age, you need to listen to this. He said, listen, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. The people that are not saved, that haven't trusted the Lord, they will worship this beast. And in some ways, every lost person today is worshiping the beast. In some way, they're worshiping the world system, their idolatry. You know how? Because if you were not, you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would be your God, and you would worship him. So there is a way in which you deceive yourself and blind yourself and don't think you're in idolatry. But without the Spirit of the Lord, man is designed to worship. You're either going to worship God or you're going to worship something else. And he says, those that dwell upon the earth, the earth dwellers. And you'll see that phraseology in Revelation many times, them that dwell upon the earth. And those are always referring to the lost people. And it says all of them will worship him. That means all the atheists and the Muslims and the Catholics, all the lost Baptists, amen? Any of them, they will all join together and all the religions will be joined in one. They'll have one God. And it's going to be the beast. Now, what is going to happen? There's some crazy things got to happen to get all these people on the same page worshiping the same thing. They're all going to worship him. And they'll all be joined together. That's why it says, so he gives you the contrast, those that have received the Lord, their names are written down, and he gives you the contrast to those that dwell upon the earth. That's the people that are the saints, the Lord's people, and the lost people. And here's the verse I was talking about, Revelation 3 and verse 10. He's talking to the church of Philadelphia. It says, thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth, to try the lost people. I think that verse, that's one of the strongest verses in the Bible for the pre-tribulation rapture, because he's given a promise to the church that I'm going to keep you from this hour of temptation that's coming. That doesn't mean you're not going to be tested and go through things, but they're coming, and he gives you that contrast. And remember, these events, they repeat themselves. So you have he's given power over them, and he overcomes them, and we read about them slain for the testimony in Revelation chapter 6 under the altar. That's the same event that's repeated, and he's showing you a different view of it. Okay? If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So remember when John wrote this in his day, remember when we were going through the, I don't know if you do, but we were going through the seven churches and how they would have to, they'd have to offer incense and they'd have to say, Caesar is Lord. They'd have to do that if they were going to participate. And they had to acknowledge that. And so this is very meaningful. And in the church age, we're going to have to take our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what happens. Revelation 13 and verse 8, and it says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now the beast is the Antichrist. He's a counterfeit Christ. And the world would not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But they'll receive the Antichrist. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said this in John 5:42, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will you receive. And that is the Antichrist. And he's coming, he's in his own name, he magnifies himself. You'll receive one or the other. The world would not believe the truth, but they will believe a lie. And you know why they believe him? Because they want to. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Take your Bible, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity that this spirit of Antichrist doth already work, only he who now letteth will let. The Lord has it on a leash right now. He has these powers that they can go far, but only so far. And it says, he who now letteth will let. He's going to let him go until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why do they believe him? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Why do they believe him? Because they don't want to believe the truth. And so the Lord allows them to be deceived. Look at verse 11. If there's anybody that'll fall for this stuff, it's the people in this age, isn't it? They receive not the love of the truth. Isn't that what the spirit of this age is? It doesn't matter what truth is. It's all relative. It matters what do you want to be true. And whatever you want to be true, that's truth. I'm a woman. Good for you. Congratulations. I support you. I don't. And they make truth so relative. It can be whatever you want it to be today. And they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So they believe a lie. And that's the mystery of iniquity that's working. I mean, to me, it's mysterious. Like, I do not understand how somebody can go along with that stuff. I mean, after a while, you need to grow up and stop pretending and look at the facts. I love it when I'm driving with somebody and they're telling me about all this relative truth stuff. And I always say this to them. I said, well, I'm gonna run into that tree there. And I start giving it the gas and heading toward the tree. And they say, no. I said, well, I don't believe in gravity or force. I'm just going to hit the tree. It's different. Really? Truth is truth. In verse 11, and for this cause, what was the cause? They received not the love of the truth. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, and they all might be damned who believe not the truth. And here's the other key, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, the real reason is There's a famous sermon on YouTube, and you ought to listen to it sometime. It's called by Paris Reedhead, called 10 Shekels in a Shirt. And he said this. He said, when God called me to be a missionary and over to Africa, he said, I went over there, and he said, I thought I was going to improve on the justice of God. I was going to save man from a bad God, and I was going to tell them about Jesus and how he died for them, and it was going to be the best day of their life. And he said, when I got over there, I found out there was a people there that already knew who God was, and they hated him. And they loved their sin and hated God, and they were monsters of iniquity. And that's how man is. That's how we are without God. And whatever I can do to hold on to my sin. They believe him because they love their sin and they wanted to hold on to it. Jesus spoke words of salvation. They turned a deaf ear, but they will listen to the blasphemous words of the beast. Revelation 13 and verse 10, excuse me. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the answer. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. You know, all the people that are leading these Christians into captivity, they're going to go into captivity. They're that killing with the sword, they're going to be consumed with the brightness of his coming and the sword of his mouth. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. You know what there is? God is coming, and he's going to set things right. God's going to avenge us. We trust God. You live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. What goes around comes around. You'll get yours. It's just a matter of time. And you read all kinds of history. It's just a matter of time. Everybody gets what's coming. And here is the patience and faith of the saints. They have faith in God. He's coming. He's going to set all things right. But these people, they live by the old adage, if you can't beat them, join them. But it didn't work out for them. They end up being part of God getting his wrath executed against them. All right, Revelation 13 and verse 11. It says here, all right, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Okay, so this, we have the beast from the sea, and now we have the beast out of the earth. And he has two horns, and there's no crowns on his head, and he's like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. This individual is called the false prophet. Revelation 19 and verse 20 says this. You can see it up here. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. And these both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. So you can see from this reference, and you'll see in the following verses about the miracles and everything, that he is called the false prophet. Okay? And he's different. He has two horns like a lamb. So he appears harmless. He appears like a lamb. You remember all the Lord's warnings, the false prophets that will come, and they'll come like a wolf in sheep's clothing? Well, this is a dragon in sheep's clothing. And he comes in, and he has two horns, but he doesn't have crowns on his head. Why, his power is not political, but he's spiritual. This is the man that starts this or solidifies this one world religion. And now, Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, there's a Trinity, right? Well, Satan is a counterfeit of the Lord, and so you have the dragon, and you have the Antichrist, and then you have the false prophet. It's a type of the... So, the dragon, God the Father, and the dragon imitates that. Then you have Christ, and then you have the Antichrist, the beast, and then you have the Holy Spirit, and then you have the false prophet, and he tries to do that work. Okay, so it completes this satanic trinity. And what was the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Remember from John 16, what was his job? It was to glorify the Son, wasn't it? To bring in glory and honor to the... He said, I don't speak of myself, I speak of the Son. And you know what this false prophet does? You know what he does? He magnifies the Antichrist. He brings worship to him, as you'll see here. And so his job is to glorify and literally to deify the Antichrist to the people of the world. And you see the image of the horns. He has no political power. There's no crowns on it. It's a spiritual power that gives the Antichrist his power. You know, and in Revelation 17 and verse 18, it talks about that harlot that's in bed with the kings of the earth and the beast. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city. That's the spiritual kingdom that reigns over the kings of the earth. So it's this spiritual, you have the political aspect going, and then you have the spiritual aspect going, and they come together to bring the whole world together against the Lord, against His Christ, against the remnant of God's people. And then, you know, the beast doesn't need, after he gets all the power, he doesn't need the harlot anymore. He doesn't need, so he destroys her, and he creates his own religion where you worship him. He goes into the temple of God showing himself that he is God. Right? He wants, that's the devil's whole... All these will I give you if you bow down and worship me. And so he brings all this together, and think about all the dictatorships in history. Caesar is Lord. Where is that leading? And you think about that, and then you think about what's happening in China, and all they had all these things, and Lenin, they still have his body there, you know? And all kinds of crazy stuff like that. And what is it leading towards? It's leading towards this, you know? Where you worship the politician, the person that's in charge, as God, as a deity, instead of a sinful man. So it's a symbol, this false prophet here is a symbol of the apostate world church, the world's religious system that's rejected God and His Son. That's what the harlot represents, excuse me, in Revelation 17. And when the beast rises to power, you know, false religion, you know, leads to the Antichrist. Truth is important. Some people try to say that truth is not important, but truth is very important. And so all the people that, you know, we're just going to get together. Look, we can love everyone. We can be friendly to everyone, but we don't worship the same as a Buddhist or a Muslim. They're not the same. And it leads to that way. So the Lord warned that there would be false prophets, didn't he? And this one will be the greatest. He'll look like a lamb. Nobody's afraid of a lamb, are they? I mean, it's so deceptive. A lamb is gentle, harmless, and innocent, and scripturally and ceremonially clean, and the false prophet appears, he's going to seem to be all these things. Nobody's going to be frightened. He's going to, you know, he's going to be there, and he's just going to be so smart and wise, and listen to him. Don't you feel so good when you listen to him? And I just listen to hear him. He makes me feel so good, you know? And he'll seem to be meek and lowly, but it says he has the voice of a dragon. Now, who's a dragon? Who was a great red dragon? You know who's going to be talking? Satan. He's going to have the voice of a dragon. That's, you're going to hear the very voice of Satan when he speaks. Years ago, there was this place that used to print these gospel tracts. It was called Fellowship Track League. And they had this one track, I don't know if you ever saw it, but there was a pulpit with a serpent wrapped around it. Did anyone ever see that track? The picture of that? And the idea was that, you know, depending on what you're hearing, you're hearing from the devil. And it is true, the devil speaks through people. He does. You'll hear the voice of Satan when he speaks. He'll deceive the whole world. Look at verse 12. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So, this satanic trinity has all the power of the Antichrist and the devil. And he's the one that gets the world to worship the beast. How does he do it? Look in verse 13. And he doeth great wonders. So he maketh fire to come down from heaven on earth in the sight of man. Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? Choose this day whom you're going to serve. And then God brought the fire down. You know what he's going to do? You want to know who to... Just... Well, he's the one that has the power, they'll think. Remember the Lord showed up in the burning bush? And he's going to bring that fire, but guess what? The Lord's not in that fire. He's not in that fire. And when our Lord ministered on earth, you know what the Jews would come up to him? They'd say, why don't you do a sign for us, you know? And he's like, you're like children in a marketplace saying, we've piped into you and you haven't danced, you know? Why aren't you doing these things? Give us a sign. And the Lord said, I'm not giving you a sign. There's no sign given but the sign of the prophet Jonas. But the Antichrist, the false prophet, they'll say, how do we know we should worship the beast? And he's going to do all these great wonders. And the Lord talked about him doing those things. He said in Matthew 24, verse 24, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall shew great signs and wonders, and so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So that he's going to show all these signs and miracles. And one thing, when we think about the Antichrist, we think bad, horns, and that's not how he's going to be betrayed. He's going to portray himself as God. He's going to say, I am the Lord. You should worship me. And he's going to come like an angel of light with a voice of a dragon. I always think about Benny Hinn, you know? I mean, every time I read this stuff, the false prophet, I know he's not, but I don't... Have you ever seen any of those things? Like, he does these guttural grunts and... Whoosh, and these people fall over and... Whoosh, I'm like, oh man, what is... He has some really good actors or he's full of the devil. Probably good actors, you know? It's crazy. And when I see that and I see thousands of people and it's just soaking it up, what is going on? I don't know what it is, but I think there's a real need for discernment in our day, you know? There's a real need for that. Crazy stuff This guy is just going to do all these signs. And, I don't pray to God for a sign. I pray for wisdom. I say, Lord, would you show me, would you begin to show me the answer to this? I'll be listening, and I know it'll happen over time, but would you begin to show me what the answer is for this thing? Because the just shall live by faith. You're not supposed to need a sign. You have the scripture. And I'm afraid that if I pray for a sign, I'll get a sign, but it'll be from the wrong person. I knocked on this door. I know you've heard this story before, but I like this story. So I knocked on this door, like, right over here. And the guy opened the door, and he said, I knew you were coming. I said, what? He said, I had a dream about you last night. I said, okay, good. Well, let me show you the gospel. And I told him, you need to be born again. He said, I had a dream last night and an angel showed up and told me you were coming. And he gave me this verse, Jeremiah 10 and verse 5. And it says, they are upright as a palm tree, but they speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them. He said, you need to be born. I'm like, that is like carried. That's not born again. I said, you know who showed up to you last night? The devil. And he told you didn't need to be saved, you know? And that's what's going to be going on with this guy. Revelation 13, 14. And it says, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. By means of the miracles, the false prophet, energized by Satan, will perform his lying wonders and duplicate some of the signs performed by the two witnesses. Revelation 11:5 says, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. And he's duplicating these things. And up to these two times, the two witnesses have been ministering in the temple in Jerusalem, but the beast will slay them, take over the temple, and when God raises the two witnesses from the dead, he gives life to the image of the beast. And verse 15, we'll quit here. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So we'll get into the like why they die, how they die, or the mark and all that next week. But he gave power unto the image. Like, they're working together. He's, you know, who empowers the believer? The Holy Spirit. And the false prophet is the one that empowers the Antichrist and gives life to all those things that are going on. So, amen, if you're not saved, you probably want to get saved. Because there's a spiritual world out there, and a whole world that's against God, and you need to be on His side. Amen? Pray, we'll be dismissed. Lord, I come before You and I thank You for Your Word. I pray, Lord, that You would bless this teaching, help it to